Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddham Dhammam Sangham Namassami. We all have fear until we don't have fear. But did you ever notice that there's fear of fear? Fear itself is anicca. It's dukkha and it's empty. There's no one there, it's not who we are. So if we can observe, if we watch fear rather than believe in fear, then we can see the fear moment by moment, just like a breath. See, the Buddha gave instructions, practical instructions based on our physical form. We have five sense doors. We can see, we can hear, smell, taste, and touch. But we also can think, thinking, the mind, and the mind's thoughts arise because of these five sense doors. But we have something else. So when we have like and dislike, and we watch our thoughts, when we watch our thoughts or listen to sounds, we can get scared or we can like it. But all these states of mind are so impermanent. They have no substance. And if we really sit and meditate on fear itself, then fear, the expression of fear, the manifestation of fear, the knowing of fear can help us to be free of fear. Why is that? Because it's impermanent. If we're lost in analyzing and making lists and figuring out the right word for the right state of mind, there's ego, self, and a position. But it's not right. I'm trying to peel that away, to know the impurities as they arise, feel it. Whichever impurity it is, it doesn't feel quite right. Just breathe into that moment, stay present, and see, hear, feel, know the silence of non-thinking. The intuitive awareness is silent, has no names of anything in it. It's just what it is. If we start to study the nature of fear instead of being afraid of fear, which just feeds it. If we're afraid of what we're afraid of, it's like a mirror that goes on forever. The fear is afraid of the fear that's afraid of the fear. Doesn't it just feed fear? It doesn't stop because we grasp the fear. We cling to it. We eat it. We swallow it. We're full of it. It's not real. Where's the love? And if we stick to that which is true here and now, if we can observe thoughts or feelings, because the body also becomes tense, very sensitive to those kinds of memories or the creations in the mind about what might happen, what did happen. This is the mind going to a future that doesn't exist, to the past which is dead. We only have the present moment. So it helps us to realize that what we're doing is creating from memory, creating something non-existent. It's just all creation of the mind. But it has a result which is not helpful. It's a result like that takes us off balance because it's out of the present moment. Our strength, our gift to ourselves and each other is to learn to live in the pure presence of this, of things just as they are. If we go beyond that, we're likely to lose our balance. It's like you have a seat. You only can sit in one seat. That seat, the seat. If we try to sit in any other seat, we fall over. If we sit in the past, we fall over. If we sit in the future, we fall down. Because it lends itself to worry and fear, or to false expectations, to hopes and dreams, which are all imagination. It's not this here and now breath. So it might be fun. It might be entertaining. It might be scary. Why are we going there? If it's fun, that's also impermanent. If it's scary, that's impermanent. It's not real. If we stick to that which is true here and now, our chances of staying balanced are much higher. And that's what gratitude does. You feel grateful for one breath. This is what the Buddha taught. Stay with one breath, but it's hard because it's breath by breath by breath. But really, the more we are in the present moment, the more we can stay with the breath and let go whatever is coloring it, whatever we've dragged onto that breath from the past, whatever we create from our imagination and paste it onto that breath from a future that doesn't exist yet. Because time is also, we cannot control time. We cannot control this moment either. So why would we meet the present moment with thoughts about what it might be, what might happen? It's a waste of our good energy, of our awareness. True awareness blossoms in the present moment. Whatever else there is, it's unsure. It's my name. It's uncertain. Who knows? We don't really know. But the beauty of the Buddha's teaching is that we're being asked to know what is here right now. And if we can abide in the right now, it will be right for us. It will be so right that we will draw out of fear, fearlessness, because we can see it for what it is and we can let it go. That much power we have. And it is not insignificant. It's a very significant power. All the other powers that we think we have are just suppositions. Creation. But the awareness is not something we create. It's something that we already have within us. But we have to bring it forth. Everyone who has the ability to reflect and know the present moment, to be aware in this way, can bring that forth. We learn it when we come out of the womb and our sense doors pop into action. A baby opens its eyes and looks. It just looks with wonder. That's awareness. Pure, absolutely pure awareness. Then little by little, it begins to function and learn and get socialized in different ways, learning language, learning interaction, learning skills, learning speech, hearing sounds, and becoming identified as this or that. We were reflecting how babies, when they're really little, they play together. And as we get older, we start to develop a lot of opinions. We like this, we don't like that. Some people choose violence and violation as their way of life. There was an article about some soldiers who said, "We are here to kill." I was so shocked. How horrific that, coming from the innocence, the purity of being a baby, and then to grow from that into wanting to destroy, they would even kill babies. And the reporter asked this man, "What if there are babies, what would you do?" "Well, if I don't kill them, they will kill me when they grow up." So this kind of poisonous thinking. But what do you do with poisonous thinking? How do we draw that out? There's no awareness there. There's no pure awareness. There's no knowing of what they do. This is a very heavy delusion. So for us to practice this present moment awareness so that we can stay balanced and we don't fight with our own present moment by layering it with delusion, even if it's small delusion. A little fear might seem not so bad, but there's no gratitude for this breath. Where is the love? Where's the appreciation for being able to be aware? To know the present moment, to see, to bring forth kindness, a loving kindness, to help others, to help ourselves, to bring peace to the heart, to look upon our life and realize that we have a good position in life, whatever we have. We're fortunate. We have food here in the monastery. Even though we live dependent on so many people, people come and feed us. It's a miracle to live like this. People bring food, they bring us everything, even this building, it was all a gift. But even to be able to walk, to breathe, to see, to smell, to taste, to feel, it's all blessing. In this strange world. But the blessings start here in the middle of our belly, that we can eat food and digest it, that there's a hospital to go to if we're sick. We have countless ways to bring awareness into the present moment by realizing the blessing of all that life is giving us here and now. So then contemplating in this way, we decrease the fear. Because you take your mind off the fear and you place your mind, your awareness, just where the awareness arises. You don't allow the mind to be distracted by 100,000 things. past, future, everything that's wrong, hatred, delusion, greed, because those things never end. Fear never ends. We keep feeding fear until we're completely lost in it. But we've created it because we've neglected to be aware of that which is not fearful. And that which is fearless arises here in our own present moment witness of the fresh breath as it arises, of the fresh point of knowing this moment, this cognizing, this being present, which we all can do. Whether we have hair or not, whether we have normal clothing, nun's clothing, anything you wear, be grateful we can keep warm in the winter, cool in the summer. Some people don't have warm clothing for the winter. They really don't. Or they have torn or used up clothing. Some people live on the street in the winter. Never mind why. Of course, the rents are very high now. But also some people are sick. They can't get a job. They can't pay rent. They end up living on the street. Some get addicted to drugs, which make them feel better. But it's not the answer. Then they get into worse trouble. Some die because of that. Everyone wants to be happy. The beauty of this teaching is that the Buddha taught us how to be our own doctor. We can be a doctor that prescribes present moment awareness, and right there is courage. So cœur, in French, cœur is heart, the heart's own awareness. It's the opening of this heart that teaches us how to not feed the hungry ghost in us, so that we can not be distracted by our greed, not be distracted by our hostility or our critical mind, or our fear. But there's nothing to fear when we are taking refuge in pure awareness. And listening to the silence of the mind. Because fear is very noisy. It's a slave driver. But we have created that habit ourselves because of not cherishing how silent the mind can be when it practices in this way of purifying itself. Letting go the arising and ceasing of fear, seeing it end, and when it ends, there is a moment where there is no fear until the next fear arises. If we watch very carefully in the meditation and the mind gets so quiet, we can begin to see the arising and ceasing even of a state of fear. A mind state of fear, it begins because everything is impermanent. So it has a root, it grows from that, it lasts for a while, then it's gone. It may be happening fast, but every moment is a fear moment. Fear, 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 fear. Just like our mental stream is made up of many, many teeny, teeny invisible bubbles of consciousness. But to be aware of that is to begin to see that impermanent quality. That is our saving grace. That stillness of our conscious awareness will save us from suffering, moment by moment. And we give our attention to that And then we begin to develop moments of fearlessness. And to have the courage to do that is already knowing courage. Courage knows courage. And then instead of feeding fear, we're feeding the brave heart. Just to pay attention to the possibility of this and give it all our strength. So, if we apply this practice skillfully and carefully, the fear will lessen. Fear and worry are cousins, the same root. One is amplification of the other. It's ill will. There's no love in that, no metta. So, we can just be present with that loving, gracious grace of awareness. And knowing the fear is not who we are, then we let it go. Like a river, water flows, you let it go. In the present moment, it passes. It's all passing. But the awareness is there. Always. That's unconditional love. So if we keep sila, we practice samadhi and we develop panya, we are like a tree with leaves that make shade for all the creatures to come and live in our protection. Why worry? This whole earth, this solar system, everything is changing. If we start to know impermanence for what it is and accept it, we can understand true changelessness within our heart. Let us sit in a way that we can realize the arising of that. It's already within us. Awareness of that purity of awareness. Awareness aware of itself. And then you have that reflectivity. It never ends. Awareness, aware of awareness, aware of awareness. It's infinite. It has no end. That's freedom.